Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Championing the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes prove in liberating strife.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you, you can always listen to us by downloading the Odyssey app or telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. You'll find podcast links to all our previous episodes there. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and Truth Social pages. And follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Little Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. It's absolutely an appropriate intro for our next guest. In his new book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America, best-selling author and conservative icon Dr. Ben Carson lays out a hopeful and inspiring roadmap for how America can come together. In Created Equal, Dr. Carson uses his own personal experiences as a member of a racial minority, along with the writings and experiences of others from multiple backgrounds and demographics, to analyze the current state of race relations in America. We are honored to have the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development with us this evening. Dr. Carson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Carson, before we get to the book, and I know it's not quite out yet, but I did get a little tease from the publisher. It sounds fantastic. I will buy a copy. I have to ask you about what happened this week, what leaked this week from the Supreme Court, the draft Supreme Court opinion that appears to indicate the court is about to overturn Roe v. Wade. You're solidly pro-life. I'm curious about your thoughts on it.
Well, I'm concerned about the process whereby this came to light. You know, for hundreds of years, you know, there's been a tradition. You just don't release Supreme Court documents. It really damages the trust that the justices have in each other. It's a real problem. That said, the fact that we may be moving toward a system where something as important as life is legislated on, not by judges, but by people who represent the people of each state. That makes a whole lot more sense, and I think that's the way our country was designed.
No, I think now, you're right.
Obviously, there are those who want something else other than what the system was designed for.
You know, there's been calls already. Chuck Schumer, some of the others are already calling. Elizabeth Warren totally freaked out the other day. Calls for, again, back to, you know, packing the court, eliminating the filibuster, some of those things. Do you see this as enough of a motivation to push, say, a Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema to actually do that? Or do you think we're going to be okay and still be able to prevent that until Republicans can get a majority?
Well, it's hard to know. We can hope and pray that, the moderate Democrats can actually think about what is good for the country, what is good for their constituents, and not what is good for their party. This is where the big problem is. So many of the political operatives are only concerned about politics, and that's very unhealthy for a democratic republic.
No, you're absolutely right. And I wanted to also talk to you a little bit about, you know, you served as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. The Biden administration is trying to reinstate fair housing regulations that had been limited under President Trump. They also announced a wide-ranging set of reforms to advance what they call equity at HUD. This all seems like just more pandering and big government to me. Am I wrong? I mean, rolling back those provisions that your team put in place seems like going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, what we were interested in is self-sufficiency and giving people a ladder that they could climb and become independent. And I think what the current administration is involved in is securing votes and securing favor. And it's very unfortunate that we've gotten into this situation. But the good thing is, I think a lot of people are waking up. A lot of people are recognizing that they're being used as pawns. And in fact, we should be moving more toward those kinds of policies that empower people, not the ones that empower the representatives.
We're talking with former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, in your new book, Created Equal, you use your own experiences as well as, you know, writings and information input from others with multiple backgrounds to analyze the current state of race relations in America. You lay out a hopeful vision for America in the book. Is that even possible when the left seems, frankly, obsessed with identity politics, the Black Lives Matter ideology? I mean, it just seems like I'd like to think that we can be hopeful, but the left is so intent on dragging us down.
Well, there's a saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. And it's pretty dark right now.
Yeah.
Because people have used the race issue as a cudgel to beat people into submission, to make them feel guilty or to make them feel like victims. Neither of those should be things that are going on in our country. Have we had some bad things that have happened historically in our past? Absolutely. All countries do, because they're inhabited by people, and people are not perfect. But smart people learn from those things, and they move forward. And do we want to build our future on our failures or on our successes? And learn from our failures, not try to cover them up or rewrite them.
You're absolutely right. You know, I know you stated recently, I think it was either a tweet that I saw of yours, instead of using race as an excuse to remake America into something completely antithetical to the Constitution, we should focus on magnifying America's incredible strengths. You know, this all comes down to, obviously, we have our warts like any other country, and our history has got flaws. But when you have school districts that are intent on pushing, you know, the 1619 Project, critical race theory, things like that, it seems like they're more interested, again, in pushing the ideology than learning from our past.
Divide and conquer. How can you get to a good place when you're teaching white kids that they're oppressors and black kids and minorities that they're victims? How does that lead to a better place? I would like for them to answer that question for me. But the fact of the matter is, in our book, we really look at things in context. We look at slavery in context. Was it horrible? Absolutely. No question about it. Were we the only ones who had it? Absolutely not. Everybody's had it. It's been a part of human history. And what people don't know is that there are more slaves in the world today than there have ever been historically. When you look at the human trafficking that's going on, and the major consumer of it, the United States of America. So do we have some real issues going on with slavery? Absolutely, and they're going on today. We don't have to address something from 200 years ago. And then also recognize that what is unique about us with slavery is that we had so many people who were opposed to it that we were willing to fight a bloody civil war and lose a large portion of our population to stop it. And that's what we ought to be talking about. Not about the negatives.
Well, you're right, and I think what BLM and the 1619 Project, some of these other groups don't understand, Americans don't want their children to see the world through, you know, the victimhood, to see, as you said, white people are as inherently racist, because I don't believe that America is inherently racist. The left seems to.
Well, they want to. That's part of their narrative. And, of course, you know, they use things like the George Floyd incident to try to make you believe that this is what's going on every day in America. You know, that's so far off the end of the bell curve, it's almost ridiculous. But that's what they do. And they have the media joining them with 24/7 reliving of any incident like that occurs. You notice there hadn't been much lately because there isn't that much.
Right.
It doesn't happen that often. It does happen, and when it does, it's horrible. We should condemn it. But we need to recognize that horrible things happen in virtually every profession. It's not just the police. But for some reason, we tend to take those horrible things that happen with the police and try to generalize them. And that's just the wrong way to go.
Along those same lines, Dr. Carson, it seems to me, in their rush to embrace this radical LGBTQ agenda, the left clearly wants to eliminate the traditional family. And particularly in minority communities, that's a traditional family, having a mother and a father to help influence and guide, I think is crucial. But it seems like they just want to take away our rights and do nothing to prevent this. Am I wrong?
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because I talk about that in the book. The wealth gap. People like to bring that up and say that that's evidence of systemic racism, 5 to 10x difference between black families and white families in the United States. But is that all because of racism or something else? Because if you look at Nigerians and Ghanaians and some of the other families who are black, there's no wealth gap. Now, why is that? You go into a Nigerian family household, you will notice that a bachelor's degree is the baseline. That's where you start. And that there's a huge amount of emphasis on family and family structure. And you can take that and you can look at traditional black American families who've been here for a long time. When you see a family where there's a big emphasis on family structure and education, there's no wealth gap. I wonder if maybe we're looking in the wrong place.
Exactly. But then again, they want us to forgive all college debt now, too. So you know, that's certainly going to make things better. Doc, the new book is called Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. Comes out in just a few weeks, correct?
Yeah, the 17th of this month it'll be coming out.
Well, and if folks are interested, they can get it, obviously, on Amazon. Your website is bencarson.com, and I follow you on Twitter. I encourage my listeners to follow you on Twitter. You're at Real Ben Carson, right?
And I would also encourage people to go to AmericanCornerstone.org and see the multitudinous things that are available to inform people and get people involved in our system.
Dr. Carson, I appreciate you coming. I do have to ask, you know, you've dedicated your life in large part to serving us. Are you going to run for office in the future? Do we see politics in your future at all?
Well, let me put it this way. I will always do what the Lord wants me to do, but I hope that's not it.
That's a good answer. I like that answer. Dr. Carson, thank you again for joining us this evening. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Take care. Thank you.
We'll be taking your calls at 8:45, but coming up after the break, Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life will join us to discuss the implications of this week's leaked SCOTUS decision to repeal Roe v. Wade. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.